Welcome to Nene Chunil Rane. This afternoon, this going to be our first fish talk over the air. And I have guests here with me. I'll have them introduce themselves here at the station first, and then the ones that are on the phone. I'll have this young gentleman here go first, and then come around to you, and then we'll go on the phones.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Speak into the phone, please.
My name is Spencer Reardon. I'm the refuge manager here at the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge here in Bethel.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Sam, for having us back again. This is Therese Vicente, the Policy and Programs Director with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission here in Bethel as well.
And then guys on the phone. Hello, are you guys there?
This is Kevin. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hi, Sam. This is Kevin Whitworth, Executive Director for Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. Thank you.
Sam?
Hi, Sam. This is Sam Decker with ADF&G. I'm the Kuskokwim River Fisheries Management Biologist.
Welcome back, ADF&G. Everybody.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah. We're going to dive right into what you guys have here to start it off. Maybe I'll start with Trish. Can you kind of dive into what information you have for our listeners out there?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And maybe I'll start off just saying again, I'm really excited we're starting Fish Talk again for the season. It's a call-in show. We love it when people call us talk with us. But yeah, the ice just went out, last week, a couple days ago in Bethel. We were just sitting here talking about, bird hunting, and people are manuking from the seawall, people probably getting ready for smelts. Mm-hmm. So I always love hearing subsistence updates too, even though the salmon aren't quite running up yet, or maybe there's some really early kings, those ones that go under the ice. Mm-hmm. But you know, we welcome callers to tell us your subsistence updates. This is show all about fish, all about subsistence, so glad to hear it. But you know, I think our teams are just gearing up for the 2026 salmon season. I'll let others speak a little bit more to that maybe at the top of our call, as that's first in mind. Though this winter we haven't slowed down at the Intertribal Fish Commission. There's been a lot going on offshore for management of our salmon when they're out in the ocean. So I can share some updates maybe later in our call once we get through. Mm-hmm. In-season, pre-season business first, yeah. About, you know, bycatch and area M updates. I know people are always interested about that. So
yes, let me get our open lines here. Our lines, Madluguk, our lines, they are 907-543-2756. Ibasu, 907-543-5985. Spence?
Yeah, so we too have been a bit busy. This is the time of year where people are anticipating summer and fishing. And so we've been in a lot of conversations. This year we spent a bit of time snow machining to a few villages to hear from folks in their villages, to hear their thoughts on what fishing was like last year. We used last year as an example of what fishing could be like this next year. And we also try to share information if asked. And so we had some pretty good conversations. I think people have come a long ways in understanding salmon in general on this river. It's been talked about for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And we're always excited to hear from people in their own village on their thoughts what they liked, what they may not like, suggestions to try to make things better. And so we take that information and we like to share that with others for all to consider. Our RIT program was instrumental in setting these up. We have some good local RITs that know a lot of the people up and down the Kuskokwim River. We enjoyed those conversations. It's one of the better parts of my job. It gets me out, gets to engage with people directly, hear their concerns, let them know who we are. I think we're fortunate to have built trust over the years. When you could put your shake someone's hand and be in front of them at their own village and tell them we're here to hear from you, I think that's meaningful. We're always soliciting input, as we are doing in the show today.
Yeah, thank you. And we also have Sam Decker in Fairbanks. Sam?
Hi, Sam. Yeah, this is Sam Decker with Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm up here in Fairbanks where I live with my family, but I'm getting ready to come down to Bethel for the summertime. We have been working with the working group this winter. We have a new working group coordinator. Her name is Cara Dominic. So if you come to the Bethel office, you'll see her. She's got a lifetime's worth of experience living on the Kuskokwim, fishing and hunting. I'm really excited to have her in that position, and I'm looking forward to this summer. We've got our outlook ready to be published by the end of the day today, so I bring some updates about our forecast. As everyone, all the other guests on the call know, we had a very busy winter full of meetings. We had our Board of Fish meeting last November, and then there was another slew of meetings on January and February. Yeah, I'm really excited that the ice went out so nicely on the river and didn't cause massive flooding like we were afraid. The winter here in Fairbanks was very deep and very long, and I was very concerned that there would be a lot of flooding. And I knew that the Kuskokwim region had it was devastated by the typhoon in the fall, and I'm so grateful that the ice went out as a thermal breakup this spring rather than as a dynamic breakup.
Yes. I'm very, very thankful. Been praying about it, so everything worked out. And then we have Kevin. Are you finished, Sam?
Yes,
do you have anything else?
I can let Kevin go next.
Okay, all righty. Kevin?
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Looking forward to another year working with you, Sam Berlin, and the folks at Fish and Wildlife and Fish and Game this next year with salmon and salmon management, and engaging our new in-season managers here at Cusco Fish Commission. We have new, every year we elect in-season managers. We have three of them are not new. Henry Hunter Sr. there from Bethel, Mike Williams Sr. from Akiak, Tracy Simeon from Trotsluck. They've been here for several years now. Sam Tinker from Quinnahawk and Denny Thomas from Crooked Creek. Those are our five in-season managers who are engaged throughout the summer. And then this is our second year with Martin Andrew as our chair, which is he's been chair for 1 year, and it's a two-year rotating chair position. And so we have Martin Andrew for another year in his position, and from Queefuck. And I'm looking forward to the summer. I haven't seen very many nets in the water here in McGrath. I know sheafish should be here soon, and I'm hearing folks in the lower river catching some whitefish and sheafish, and hoping for the smelt here real soon, and king salmon right behind them. So looking forward to that.
All righty. Thank you, everybody. And everybody knows who I am, Sam Berlin, host for the talk shows here. We have open lines right now. We have only two. They are 907-543-5985, 907-543-2756. Those are the two lines that are available for anyone that wants to call in and ask questions to my guests here. Sam, I'd like to hear a little bit about what's been happening on some of the meetings that you went to. Pick a subject and let's hear something.
Sure. So last winter, we had our Board of Fish meeting, and the issue that was important to the Kuskokwim River that was addressed at that meeting was the addition of eel sticks as a subsistence gear. And so we had a big discussion about what it is to fish for lamprey and, the different modifications of an eel stick. That was successfully added as a legal gear. And so we know it's something that, you know, traditionally has been used on the Kuskokwim for thousands of years. It's made from every different kind of tree and you know, with the addition of nails, people were using nails. Prior to that, they were using willow sticks with the roots attached, and that was the rake tines that were used for raking the eels out of the water. So getting that successfully added as legal gear was something that we viewed as just kind of taking care of business. Mm-hmm. There was a good discussion on it at the Board of Fish because one of the Board of Fish members is from Aniak and had fished for eels himself as a kid with his parents and his grandparents. So he was able to bring a lot to that discussion.
Yeah. Kevin, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, Sam, this is Kevin Whitworth. There was, in February, the Board of Fisheries met to discuss Area M, which is the South Peninsula fisheries that takes place in King Cove, that area, Sand Point. This is an important area where a lot of our salmon, chum salmon, including Chinook salmon, migrate through. And they are intercepted there by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, some of them. And also in February, and there was some outcome on that, and I'd like to lean on Teresa on the outcome of that meeting. And then again in February, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council finished their CHUM EIS. And again, this is to try to limit the pollock fisheries catching our CHUM salmon that are out in the Bering Sea when they leave the rivers, they go out into Bering Sea and the Area M fisheries, and both of these fisheries intercept or bycatch our salmon, and they've been a problem for many years, as we all know here in the river. And the outcomes, there were small steps that that helped us. I mean, it wasn't exactly what tribes asked for, but at least it was a little bit of a small step. It was a success, definitely a successful two meetings for tribes and trying to get our salmon back. And I'll lean on Trish on the outcomes. But thank you, Sam.
Trish, you want to follow through?
Sure. Yeah, happy to add more. Thanks, Kevin, for the introduction. I could start with the Area M meeting because that's where you started. So I think almost everybody on this river who's following fish stuff knows about Area M and that fishery that's been intercepting Western Alaska fish, including Kuskokwim fish, for decades. It's a commercial fishery, and there's very few salmon stocks in the South Alaska Peninsula that they call them terminal stocks that actually go there to rivers to spawn. They're mostly passing through on their way to other rivers. So given the state of king salmon and chum salmon abundance in the Kuskokwim in recent years, folks know they've been low abundance, getting smaller. They're not as plentiful as they used to be. That's why we've had a number of years of subsistence fishing restrictions in river. We've started looking to the oceans to see how can we protect these fish. and make sure that we give them the best chance possible, that the fisheries out in the ocean give them the best chance possible to come back and spawn. So in the month of June, the Area M commercial salmon fishery down in the south side of the Alaska Peninsula, they're primarily targeting sockeye salmon. A lot of Bristol Bay sockeye salmon get caught in that fishery, but because of the purse seine nets and the set nets, the drift gill nets that they use, they incidentally will catch other fish too. And they're legally allowed to keep them and sell them. So that's where we see in the month of June in particular, chum salmon from Western Alaska will get caught as they're coming back from their winter in the Gulf of Alaska, heading to the Bering Sea or maybe heading to their home river to spawn. And throughout the season, we got some recent genetics that about 20% of all the king salmon caught in Area M are Kuskokwim or Bristol Bay king salmon as well. They don't catch a whole lot of king salmon, but there are decent numbers and pretty much everywhere else around the state, including the Kuskokwim, especially the Yukon, are completely limited or heavily restricted on king salmon. And they're not in Area M. So this was all in top of mind when tribal leaders, subsistence people, the industry, you know, when everybody went into Anchorage in February for the Board of Fish meeting that was set to discuss the management plans for the Area M fishery starting this year until 2028, because they do it in 3-year cycles. As Kevin alluded to, the ask that people had going into the meeting, at least from the Kuskokwim, Yukon, other parts of Western Alaska, the people that wanted salmon conservation to protect our fish out in the ocean, we were asking for long windows of closures in the month of June, that kind of key migratory time and area for our chum salmon and also our king salmon. We were asking even for proposals that would close the fishery down entirely in the month of June, because that's really what would be needed to make sure that Western Alaska salmon didn't get caught and to follow state policy and statutes to prioritize subsistence fishing. So we didn't get that. But what did happen was the Board of Fisheries, in a split vote, 4 members voted in favor, 3 against, they reduced the fishing time for Area M gear types by a combined about 20 to 30% from what their previous plan has been. So the set net fishery has a reduction of fishing time by about 13%. The drift net fishery, close to 40%. And the purse seine fishery, which arguably has the biggest impact because they have the biggest nets, can scoop the most out, they got reduced about 30%. So their openers before, like up until last year, were long 30-plus hour openers with short breaks in between, maybe just over a day. Throughout the month of June 10 to June 28, now their plan will have a series of shorter 24-hour openers whenever the Alaska Department of Fish and Game manager for that area announces them. Mm-hmm. So their, you know, nets out of the water means fish hopefully will be staying in the water. That's our hope anyways. The fishermen from Area M are fighting against this. They've actually filed a lawsuit.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, against this decision. So I think we'll be learning a lot more as we get close to the start of their June fishery and as that lawsuit progresses. But, you know, small step forward to protect Western Alaska chum salmon. That's what we took away from that meeting.
Great.
And then the North Pacific Fishery Management Council also had a meeting over the winter in February about chum salmon bycatch. Do you want me to jump into that now or maybe pause a second?
I would like Kevin to say something. Kevin? Spence. Sorry.
You should wear name tags.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a lot to add to what Therese already said. Being that Fish and Wildlife Service is not involved in those decisions, our involvement is basically limited to the river, basically within the federal boundary for the refuge.
So that would be from the mouth of the Kuskokwim up to Aniak.
Yes, right. Correct.
Okay, yep. Great. What is the outlook? Can you
I think Sam has some new information she alluded to earlier on, so I'd best leave it to her because I think she has some information there.
Okay. Akut awai kalagot klikipik puta smuknikukuta apatukulutung pilkat makinuna trisak pilga na suspense kamakin Kevin McGrath and Sam Maclu amakin Fairbanks Sam ka time tay chikok Sam. Hopefully tomorrow she'll start packing and be on her way here. That's wishful thinking. But anyway, akutaway kalagot kluki pikkaita uksuk pakkuyuhtak sutung pishkamukni kanrut kluki illait pishkita una akhtak kluku away akhtukuluku pikkit kanani nukuni false pasamakana pilakita Pacific Ocean, Gulf of Alaska site, Covid Bering Sea, Mundiviagat, down at Doi, Kalahut Kluku, Awai Pilchamini, Ilangachting Naksuki, Tamani Kuvia Kuvia, Luting Pilashata, Kanrut Kamini, Pilchuk, Awai, Tamas kondoi agulacht naksukupiak satni toten pistigat huni luki tokam unani kupialuting ptugi kaluting pilashit ila ngakani kiluku toni sukupialuting pilashat jali up to 40% tamani ilanga kanigiluk chali chiwi ngalashat ukutlu kaluk pakiluting pilgit chali tamakut ilanga kanigiluk by 30%. Tap toit ikayuk chikakut tamakut ta muril kluki kehpak pikum ta ahkuni ashakuni psulgni kubyalasamtni ay pagnitoy taim nakin rurak tak luta pichi kukut unakwani Spencer Akmani ukuni fishing wildlife ani chalil gharuk mannamuril kaksuku kanakin kuskukwim painganak kamawat anyakakamit nunit nunu una so trisak into tribal fish commission nani doni jali bakluni Sam Dekarak so fishing game Kevin Naklu kamani akkaki anyakami pilra jali into tribal fish commission nani jali bakluni kwani kwakaya gaul rechtan khtuk. We have a caller online. Esther, good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Esther Fox. I'm from Good News Bay. I had done a testimony over in Togiak this past spring. And my testimony was that I didn't see any sea lions there, Bird Island. Or Security Cove or Sagavan Bay. Normally there's lots of sea lions there. Those boats must be disturbing them.
Hmm. or it might be that
the Magnuson Act, it needs to be revisited to protect those sea lions out there. And I took a marine safety course, and two boats had gone aground that were trying to get those pollock. Two boats went aground. That means they went into too shallow of a water. They might have been tongue-eaten.
Yeah.
Those boats are scaring them sea lions up there.
Yeah.
No, just those.
Yeah, yuhtun ka kantutun.
Ii kantuna.
Kitik yuhtun mumiht kho akuna kanrut kiltnak kunika silainanak kanshan angyan kshutama kunik tufchni pilgainik. What walirin khpitsni.
Yeah, those I'm pretty sure they catching too much salmon out there, and they pollute money and toyak. I was surprised they pollute toyak too. That 1 year, both of us, good news, and toyak.
Okay, we're out of our region when we talk about Bristol Bay. It's totally, altogether a totally different area. Manitagam around our area, Kaskakwim.
From Kaskakwim.
Yeah, I know.
I'm from Good News Bay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. From Good News Ukatmun. Tamatumka Biukut.
Yeah.
Sam, this is Sam Decker with ADF&G.
Mm-hmm.
May I say something?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Hi, Esther. This is Sam Decker. You may remember me from when I lived in Good News Bay many, many years ago. I want to thank you for calling in. And I can do some research into what we know about sea lions down in that area with our Marine Mammals Department at Fish and Game, and I can bring that information with us. Madison Hardwig will be coming out to your area in June, and I can send her with some information on what we know about sea lions.
I do it too, both state and federal. In Tell Mary Peltola and Beverly Hoffman about that Magnuson Act to be amended or revisited and get those boats out, get them out, get them out. Tell Mary Pelto and Beverly Hoffman that there was no sea lions out there.
Yes, Sam?
I can add something else, that we are keeping it at the Fish and Game Office. We are keeping track of what's happening in the Bering Sea with two different projects. We're partnered with the Kinnick Tribe, who is doing research on paralytic shellfish poisoning and how that is affecting the prey species for salmon and for other marine mammals, such as sea lions. And we're hoping to bring some of that work to the Kuskokwim this year. So we'll have more information about that at future Fish Talks. And then we also have our Salmon Ocean Ecology Program that did surveys in both the North Bering Sea and the Southern Bering Sea last fall. The Southern Bering Sea survey is the one that's important to the Kuskokwim area because that's the one that looks at the juvenile life stage of king salmon and trying to understand more about where they go, how their health is doing. And so at the working group meeting this spring, we had Sabrina Garcia come and give a really great presentation on updates from that program. So if folks want to see that presentation, that's available at our ADF&G website. You can Google ADF&G working group, and it'll take you to the archive of all of the materials from the public meeting, including a summary and the audio recording and the packet that has her slides. And you can review her information from her presentation there. We're trying to fund an exciting new project looking at strontium isotope ratios that should help us understand the relationship between juvenile king salmon in the ocean and the Kuskokwim fish that are returning to Kuskokwim River, and separate out
their
gut stock.
To that, the summer is supposed to be extremely hot. Those temperatures too out there were probably do a lot with the fish population.
That's possible. Yes, we are watching that El Nino, and the El Nino index is looking like a strong one for this year, but we'll see how that develops. That could impact the Bering Sea as well.
Okay, good. That's good to know, Sam. Thanks. I'll hang on here and listen to this fish talk.
Esther. Thank
well,
you.
No, Sam. Yeah. I'm listening.
Sam, do you still have anything to say?
If I can give some of the outlook information that Spencer was referring to about the forecast for king salmon in the river.
And then I'll have Trish right after you. Jump right into you. Right after you.
All right. So Sean Larson and our research team have been crunching numbers this winter. And the forecast for king salmon in the Kuskokwim River this year is for a range between 123,000 and 200,000 king salmon. And just a reminder for folks, the drainage-wide escapement goal is 65,000 to 120,000. This is for the state of Alaska for Department of Fish and Game. I know the Fish Commission has a different escapement goal. And then again, for the state, the amounts necessary for subsistence king salmon are for 67,200 to 109,800 king salmon for the Kuskokwim River drainage. So with that, our projection for king salmon is near the recent average. We expect to meet escapement goals, and there will be limited to normal subsistence harvest with no commercial opportunity on king salmon in the river.
Mm-hmm.
For chum salmon, we expect near average run size. We expect to meet our escapement goals for the chum salmon. with limited to normal harvest for subsistence and no commercial fishing. Mm-hmm. For sockeye salmon, we expect to have above average run size. We expect to meet the escapement goals for sockeye. We expect a normal subsistence harvest with no commercial opportunity in the river. And for coho salmon, we're expecting an average run size. We expect to meet our coho escapement goals. We expect a normal subsistence harvest numbers and maybe limited commercial opportunity on the cohos in the river. We don't have any registered commercial buyers yet.
We have a caller online that he has been waiting. We'll go to him. Ivan from here in Bethel.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to all of you. Yeah, I'm hearing keywords. First one, devastation from the Typhoon Halong. Presently this day, May 18, 2026. From Bethel on down the coast, up the Yukon on the coast, all the way up. Rural villages that were affected by this typhoon. And yet, devastation. It happened. We're all done, me and my people, ready for winter. Freezers filled up and everything. But Halong came along and destroyed, devastated everything, all the food in the freezers, smokehouses, fish racks. My people have yet to go to the fish camps, even in the fish racks and the smokehouses in the villages destroyed. Yeah, interception, bycatch, not by the thousands of pounds, millions of pounds, everything. And they're letting it happen. Before it's too late, that need to be stopped. I mean everything in the sea, halibut, crab, herring, salmon, millions of pounds, bycatch. It's not me and my people on the rivers. Why I say that? We fish only when Fish and Game tells us to and put our nets in the water. Be it known now, it's not us. It's occurring out in the Pacific Ocean and Bering Sea. Interception. Yeah, let them sue us. Before that, we used to have delegates in the wintertime, Harold Spark and them. They're all gone now. From all the 56 villages, they used to go give voice to have fish escapement. And it worked. Yeah, and like that lady that just talked, they took away our biggest income on commercial fishing. The only income we had for me and my people. Yeah, and I'm hearing, and I feel with keeping in mind the devastation of Halong and starting all over again, filling up our freezers and fixing our racks and smokehouses, I don't know if it's too late to give proposals, but you need to give us that 24-hour openings. Upriver has it. Give us a break. Me and my people need it. Almost decayed on restrictions. After how long? You need to ease our stress. And still my people need to go out and to their fish camps or whatever they have presently on their land. Their smoke houses and fish racks, they're destroyed. They need to put them back up. Most of all, I don't know if they have outboards and nets. With that being said, and coming out of your mouth, give us the 24-hour openings. What can I say? In closing, kind of absent mind, my heart's heavy on my people yet that were devastated by this halang and I feel changes could be made and for me and my people to restock the freeze and everything and get ready for winter, give us the 24-hour openings. And the biggest one yet, I'm pleading to Fed Fish and Game and State down in Goldmine. We're going to have that EIS public statement September 23rd. We need your voice in stopping that. Or downriver. Whatever happens upriver is going to come down this way. And I don't believe in that dam. The most mountainous area and the snow melt. We're having heavy rain right now. We just had heavy snowfall. You've seen the high water. We got flooded. It's going to be like a big basin, a big bucket for those of us that collect rainwater to have our tea and drink water. That same, that dam won't have no, that tailings lake won't have no drainage. It's going to fill up. We need your help and voice on that. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to call. Thank you.
E.
Oh, yeah.
Hello? Are you still online? I thought he didn't finish. Waska, you can call back and finish what you have what you have forgotten. But Trish had something to add here after Sam, but we had that caller and I needed to get to him.
No, yeah, that's great. Thanks, Sam. And thanks, Yvonne, for calling in. I was really grateful for Esther's comments that she made about the sea lions. And just some thoughts that came to my mind when she was speaking. Should I keep going? Yeah. So I'm not an expert in sea lions, but I've been, you know, tracking the trawl fisheries in the Bering Sea for a couple years now, learning more about them. And one of the main food sources for the sea lions, the Steller sea lions, which I think are the ones that are down near Togiak and Bristol Bay, is pollock, the very fish that are being taken out of the Bering Sea and sold to places in the United States, places overseas. Salmon, young salmon that are in the ocean, are another one of the foods that the sea lions eat. So I think Esther is really on to something when she's thinking about, you know, not just the trawl nets maybe catching sea lions, which they definitely could do that. I don't have any numbers in front of me, but thinking about how the trawl fishing in the ocean is affecting the whole food web and the food species that the sea lions eat, that whales eat, that our own salmon eat, you know? So these are things to be talking about and learning more about, and we'll be learning more about them. And there's a North Pacific Council meeting coming up in just a couple weeks down in Washington State. They're holding this one, and we'll be happy to give some readouts from that, and folks can get in touch with our office, 545-7388, if you want to learn more. So just wanted to add that.
Mm-hmm. Our caller came back. Hey, look, if you're still there, Nauka, Ivan? Yeah, jamka umyok 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 yuk nawaye. pakpailgan cham kanqiaqqalavati.
Ya, kushaqaritairatuk. Chris.
Chris.
Itukhuat yuppuk.
Ah, ya taqlhuyugnaqqoq.
Ya, kitukha happy retirement to Chris if he listening in. Yoqnaqqun.
Ee.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Chris Tulik, I think he's still here. He might still be here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Charlie Paman, Paman, Dr. Pugin, Ritakun Nom Kmani.
Oh, yeah. Retire, Alex.
No, no, Chalik, Chalik, Chachtuk, Charlie.
Okay.
All righty, yeah. Koyanakfa. Spence, do you have anything to add to what they were talking about, especially about the sea lion?
Well, just a little bit. Well, first off, Chris Tulik is still working for us, thankfully.
Yeah.
And he'll have some plans to step in here, too, in the future. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of worry in people's voices. There's a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And people should worry. I mean, they're climate change, ocean conditions, trophic level changes, ecosystem changes. I mean, our oceans have changed quite a bit. We had die-offs with crab. We had die-offs with seabirds. Our fish are smaller. There's not as many fish. There's things that could be exacerbating these declines or keeping the declines in play. Esther also spoke of, real briefly, about what to expect this summer. And I think she's alluding to what I saw on the news. It's supposedly gonna be another El Nino year. And that's the years where hot weather comes about again. Mm-hmm. Keep my fingers crossed that it's not that bad, but predictions are out there saying it could be. So those are things people worry about, as I do. I'm hoping things get better, but when we talk about climate change and the potential for it to change our fish numbers or the health of our fish, those are things that we all worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're trying to preserve culture and people and simply feed people. That's a lot to worry about.
Yeah.
Those are big issues.
Yeah, and Kevin, we haven't given you a chance to say anything. Do you have anything to add there, Kevin?
Yes, if I could. Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me okay, Sam?
Yes, loud and clear.
Thanks. Yeah, Esther's has such a great observation there. I appreciate that. Trace did respond to that, and I have a little bit more of a response.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Yvonne brought up some really good points, and just add some numbers to some of the points Yvonne was bringing up. The Bering Sea pollock bycatch impact. So since 2011, the Bering Sea pollock trawl fisheries have wasted over 246,000 Chinook salmon and 3.5 million chum salmon caught as bycatch. And Yvonne had mentioned millions, so I wanted to put numbers in there. 50% of all those Chinook salmon bycaught, 20% of all the chum salmon bycaught by Bering Sea trawl fisheries are fish from western and interior Alaska rivers, including Kuskokwim. And despite these declines in Chinook and chum salmon out in the being caught in the, by the trawl fishery, the pollock fishery, they continue to see increase in their total allowable catch for pollock. In 2025, for instance, it's 1,375,000, I believe it's metric tons, correct me if I'm wrong, Trees, but it could be a pounds, but that's a huge number. It's hard for me to comprehend how much pollock are taken out of the Bering Sea, the very fish that feeds sea lions, the fur seals on the Pribilof Islands. There's a direct correlation between the fur seals and the Pribilof Islands and the decrease in the pollock numbers. Those sea lions are decreasing in dramatic numbers because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the area, Yvonne had brought up the numbers of fish caught there. Area M, salmon commercial harvest impact. So since 2011, sold over 97,900 Chinook salmon and 6.8 million chum salmon. and roughly 20 to 30% of the chum salmon harvested here in recent years are bound for western interior Alaska rivers, including Kuskokwim. And so millions of fish, like Yvonne had mentioned, are being caught offshore before they even come into the rivers and try to rebuild. But I wanted to bring this up. Kusko Fish Commission is also, we're involved in this with the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. We're trying to work with the committees there. There's a couple, like an ecosystem committee. There's a fish and effects model process going on right now. Fish Commission is trying to influence, if you will, advocate for, you know, restrictions happening. This fishing effects model is supposed to pick up and show that the pollock industry, for instance, the fisheries, is having a dramatic effect on the ecosystem and our people, but it doesn't. It's really leaning towards more industry-led and industry promotion through that fishing effects model instead of showing the true picture like Esther and Yvonne is telling us.
Kevin?
Thank you, Sam.
I'll have to stop you here because I have two people online. I'm going to give these guys maybe about 2 minutes each to say their piece. Willie, you're on. Good afternoon.
Hello.
2 minutes.
Hello. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. You're on for 2 minutes. We're running out of time, and you have another person. We have another person waiting online.
Okay, I'd like to make a fast question. Okay, for the past 20 years, it seems like every year we are reminded of the fishing regulations and what not to do during the summer fishing season. Seems like over the past 20 years, have our efforts been fruitful yet, or have our efforts been, have you seen any positive things since we've been following the fishing regulations? I'd like to hear something from your panelists. Thank you for thank you.
I'll have to jump to the next caller here. And Anonymous? Do you have a response for Willie's question? Any positive things going on with these restrictions that we have on the river?
Yeah, this is Therese with the Intertribal Fish Commission. I can add something and then see if others have some thoughts. But, you know, the sacrifices that people have been asked to make and have been making for years and years, even 20 years, like our caller just mentioned, they're the reason that we're getting high numbers of spawners up to the gravel. And that's the number one thing that you can do to try to rebuild runs. So I think salmon recovery, as I understand it, getting back to really abundant numbers and really big salmon, like what used to happen, will take years. And it takes a lot of things that are out of our control. But I think the sacrifices that have allowed people to keep fishing even just a little bit on the Kuskokwim are one of the reasons why this river isn't completely shut down like the Yukon. That's just my opinion and hearing the stories and comparing the systems. But I think even just the little taste of fish people get now, the sacrifices are part of that. They are helping.
Spencer, minute left.
I agree. I think that things could be worse. I mean, I think conservation works, and it's shown to work in many, many stories with our goose populations and our moose. And I think with fish, we're not to the numbers we want to see, but I do think it could have been worse if we weren't conserving.
Okay, Sam? 1 minute.
This is Sam Decker with ADF&G. I know that there have been many sacrifices by people on the Kuskokwim River in order to try and increase the size and the run size of the king salmon on the Kuskokwim. When I look at the data from the last 15 years or the last 12 years, I see a very stable run size. And I just find that very interesting because of how stable it is. Yep. I don't know why it's happening that way. I think that's why research continues and why it's important to continue communicating and working together and coming up with innovative ideas, looking at salmon health and trying to understand more of the nuances about these runs.
All right. Kevin?
Yeah, thanks. I'll be real quick. We're restricted here on the Kuskokwim. The past 10 years for Chinook, Chum, Coho, you guys remember just a few years ago, Coho restrictions all the way up until mid-August. Some of the most restrictions we've ever seen here on river. These offshore fisheries, ADF&G, North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, NOAA, have to start to work with us, the tribes, to get fish back into these rivers to try to rebuild. We are low in populations in our salmon. We're not recovered, and we got to get these other entities to work with us to try to recover our fish together.
All right, and I'll have to stop you there because we're getting into having another program being scheduled here right after us. This has been Fish Talk from KYUK 640 AM on your radio dial.